My name's George Spencer, and I live in the village of Kinderhook, which is about 30, 40 miles south of Albany, not too far from the Hudson River. I've been here about 5 years. I've gotten involved in, you know, what goes on in the community, in the sort of general sense of the community, and also most specifically, what goes on in the arts in this area. And there has been over the last 3 or 4 months a major controversy such that it's been written about in the New York Times a couple of times and in Hyperallergic and the various local newspapers here. And what it is this. Jack Shainman has a wonderful gallery here, which is called The School. And it used to, in fact, be a school. A lot of people I know here went to school there. So when I found out that Jack Shainman was going to put on the facade of the school here a artwork that was done by Nick Cave, who is a longtime client of his, I thought, this is great. And I went up and I looked at it. And there was a funny thing about it, because when they were putting it up, the person who was putting it up put up the first three letters, which are T-R-U. And somebody came along and said, no, I don't believe it. You're going to put it on the front of an art gallery, Trump. And he said, no, in fact, we're not. We're putting on the front of the gallery, Truth Be Told. Some people in the village took exception to this and started the wheels of local politics turning. And the zoning people got involved in it and said that it was not compliant with the code and it had to come down. And Jack Shainman basically said no. And so they went through the process of trying to force him to do that and pay some fines.
And so these letters are large black vinyl letters that were adhered to the height of a three-story brick school building, right?
It's a high building. So these were, I think, something like 23 feet high,
letters. So you could see it from the street. And who is the person who had the issue with the letters? And what was the complaint?
Well, the complaint, it was complicated because there was some dispute about what happened in the filing process and whether it was timely and whether the responses were timely from the village. But it basically seems to have boiled down to an issue of whether or not words displayed in the way they were displayed was a sign or whether it was art. And so when that came up, I wrote letters, you know, did mailings, and a lot of other people also did. You know, they were Zoom hearings, and so I participated via Zoom in them. And it culminated in a meeting last night in which the zoning board voted that, in fact, it was art. And one of the things that happened was in the middle of this, Ann Pasternak, who is the director of the Brooklyn Museum, who presumably knows something about the difference between art and signs that are selling Coca-Cola, decided that she would like to have this on the facade of the Brooklyn Museum. And I think there was just lots and lots of people, you know, saying this is clearly art. And there are a lot of artists around here. And then people who are nationally and world recognized experts in the difference between art and signs. I don't want to make light of it because the people, I think there were different reasons for the objections, but I think some people were in understandably puzzled by, you know, the idea that words could be art. And I understand that.
What is your relationship to art?
I've been a sculptor for a long, long time. And I started out doing, you know, full-length figures, for example. And, you know, sort of slowly moved into what I do now, which is sort of a combination of collage and sculpture.
So as an artist, how do you interpret the words, truth be told? How did you relate to that art piece being installed in your community?
Well, I thought it was great. you know, and I thought it was provocative, and I think that's great, and people objected to it, and I think that's great. And the process, you know, ground its way through what it needs to do. And it came out with a resolution that I'm very happy with. You know, I'm sort of happy with the outcome, and, you know, and seeing that it's, you know, you can have differences of opinion and they can be resolved.
And so the board meeting was quite interesting, what I've heard. What were some of the comments that stuck out to you?
The vast majority of people in the board meeting said that it was art. There were some people who said, I don't know. There were some people who said it was clearly not a sign. And then there were people that just said it was inappropriate, shouldn't be there, etc. And they had various reasons. There have been comments made like if this tape was white instead of black and it said Merry Christmas, we wouldn't be sitting here arguing about it. No one would have complained. There was a woman who came from Albany, young woman who was black, and she spoke very movingly of what it meant to her to have this. You know, there was very little snarkiness going on. And I think part of the problem is that, you know, you go back to, you know, when I was your age, sort of the definition of a racist and racism was, you know, somebody who was calling people nasty names. And that's gone now, pretty much, I hope. And that's been replaced by, you know, a concept that's sometimes difficult for people who aren't of your generation to understand, and an unwillingness to understand it in some cases. And that is, you know, what institutional racism really means. You know, even in Kinderhook, where there is filled with well-intended people, I think a lot of people have difficulty understanding that a completely white, essentially upper-class community, you know, with strict zoning laws and high property taxes and whatnot, is an example of institutional racism, which has been created step by step by step over a long period of time. And I think probably without anybody saying, we're doing this because we want to exclude certain people. But that's the end result. And I think, you know, that's very hard for people to understand, partly because I think the term institutional racism doesn't necessarily describe what really goes on.
Do you think anything's changed? Are we moving forward with our understanding of the meaning of art?
Yeah, I think what's happened is that, you know, we learn things by, we're sort of like barnacles, you know, we pick up pieces of information and all of a sudden there's a big bunch of barnacles there. We're not quite sure how they got there. And I think when people hear often enough that something is art that they didn't think was art, then they begin to wonder what art is. And so that's a good positive thing. And then I think another thing that's happened is this was clearly a political statement. It was very clear that it was aimed at the Republican candidate for president. And I think people have, who might not have accepted that in the past as being a legitimate form of expression, you know, are beginning to think about it.
And why did you decide to get involved? Why was it important for you, who saw this happening in your community? Why did you feel that it was important to do the petitions, to attend the board meeting, to vocalize your support of this art piece?
Well, you know, I think they're all the institutions around here, like Mass MoCA and All Minds and Storm King, and the school is one that really is an important anchor. Everybody needs to do everything they possibly can to, you know, to make sure that they continue and grow and whatnot. So, you know, just, and I'm an artist and I want to see these kind of things, you know. So that was my own sort of personal take on it, but I also think that particularly in this day and age, to have some clarity about free speech and what it means is really important. And it's very easy to sort of, you know, okay, we can exclude this little piece, this we can't say, or that we can't say. And all of a sudden, you find that free speech isn't what it should be.